So, how's the Christmas shopping going?
Good.
All sorted? All good? Found those perfect gifts for everybody that you need to buy? I'm sure that there are some people here, I'm not one of them, who has been very organised. I know of at least one person who I think is here this morning, who certainly buys all their Christmas cards on Boxing Day. You with me? Okay. Good, is it? Good idea? I guess so. That might be cheaper. people who have spent a long time, perhaps some of you, thinking about that perfect gift to who you're going to give presents to. Thought about it, prepared, got it all ready, all sorted. As I say, I'm not. Don't have a lot of people I need to buy presents for. That's one of my excuses, I guess. And I think I'm hoping, like the shepherds that we're going to read about in a moment, that that perfect gift will just appear almost without any forethought, and I'll know exactly where it is and how to buy it, etc. So we're going to read three people, groups of people, two groups of people, one individual, very familiar stories, people who long ago were the first to see the baby Jesus after his birth. I'm not going to read all the verses that talk about these people. We're going to start with the shepherds. So if you want to follow, I'm going to be reading some verses from Luke chapter 2. And then skipping on to read about Simeon. And then going to Matthew's gospel and his account of the wise men. So starting in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David a Saviour has been born. He is Christ the Lord. And there will be a sign. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And then suddenly there was this great company of angels praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." The shepherds then said, after the angels had left, "Let's go and find this baby and thing that we've been told about." So they hurried off, found Mary, Joseph, and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And then 8 days after the birth, in accordance with Jewish law, Mary and Joseph took the baby Jesus to Jerusalem, to the temple. And there was a man called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And that morning, moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the Lord required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." Simeon blessed them, child, father, and mother. And then, sometime later, depending on what you believe and think, wise men, they started their journey in a foreign land. They came to Jerusalem, spoke to Herod, who they'd been searching, looking at different signs, and believed that there was something special going to happen. They go to Herod, who says, "Go and find this child and then come back and let me know that I may too go and worship him." After that, they went on their way, and the star that they'd seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Different people, different ways of finding Jesus. Different journeys, different experiences, different paths, if you like. Some had a longer journey than others. Some had an easier journey. They got there in different ways. The shepherds were close at hand, weren't they? The wise men travelled a long distance from, as I say, a foreign place. And yet both of them, both those groups, had an openness to God, ready to respond when they were told about the birth of the Messiah. Simeon didn't really journey at all, did he? He was just there that morning, led by the Holy Spirit. But again, open to God, telling him that this was the one that he had been waiting for. Different paths to finding Jesus. Some sudden, some involving waiting and trusting over a long period of time. Some more active searching, examining the evidence, going out of their way to find answers. There's also things that are in common, and I just wanted to pick out three things that I felt that the searching had in common. Firstly, they all kind of needed help or got help in their search. Shepherds had the angels, didn't they? Telling them the story, telling them the good news, telling them exactly where to go in order to find the baby Jesus. The wise men had a star, but they'd looked at the signs of the day, signs of the world, things that were happening, things that were coming together, looking at different, what they saw as stars that were probably planets in the sky, and trying to understand what was going on, and then following this star that led them exactly to where the Jesus was. Simeon had a promise. He knew the scriptures. He was faithful to that promise, waiting and trusting. He prayed. He had the Holy Spirit on him to give him understanding. Secondly, they all either saw or talked about light in some way. Simeon talks about the Messiah being a light for the Gentiles, not just for the Jews, but having that understanding that what was going to happen was for the whole world. The wise men had that light of the star to guide them. The shepherds saw bright light in the angels. That's what stopped them doing what they were doing, looking after their sheep, stopped them in their tracks, as it were, in what they're just their normal life. That light coming, that suddenness of it. And thirdly, they all responded in joy in one way or another. We've been thinking about that already this morning, haven't we, and the different understanding of what joy might mean. And they all expressed joy, but in very different ways. The shepherds were amazed at what they'd seen. And they talked to each other and then went on and talked to others. Simeon praised God when he saw Mary and Joseph bring the baby into the temple. The wise men were overjoyed when they saw the star, because they knew that their journey was coming to an end. And then they worshipped, another form of expressing joy, bowing their knee before this baby who they knew to be a king. Familiar words, aren't they? Familiar stories to most of us. The words in a story that most of us have had, like those first encounters. Most of us sat here, responded in some way. We've journeyed in some way to meet with Jesus. Different for each one of us, but the same end, if you like. The same receiving of that gift, if we're Christians, that gift of God, that perfect, precious gift of Jesus. And if we're Christians, we've unwrapped the gift, haven't we? We've said thank you to God for his love and his kindness. We've accepted his forgiveness. We've felt peace and joy flood our hearts. And then, when we think about those three groups of people in the Bible stories, we don't really know what happened to them. They're just there in those verses at that beginning. But we don't really know what happened afterwards. Maybe Simeon closed his eyes for the last time physically that night and opened them again to discover that he was in the reality of the light of the salvation of God. The three, however many there were, wise men journeyed back by a different route. They went back to their own country, changed in some way, but perhaps unwilling to speak of it because of the situation in which they lived or the confusion which they perhaps felt or fear they felt, the uncertainty of it. Shepherds, well, we know what they did, don't we? They were so overwhelmed with joy that they went and told other people that what they had seen. That they had seen these angels, the glory of God appearing in the sky. That they'd seen this baby who was going to be the promised Messiah. After that, we don't know, do we? When we receive and have received that perfect gift, what do we do with it? We've unwrapped it. Then do we put it away, affected by it, but then we just get on with our lives? Do we perhaps leave it on the shelf for others to see, talk about it occasionally? Or perhaps when the excitement fades, we tell people about it and the excitement of that gift, but then that excitement fades and we put it to one side until perhaps we need to use it again? Or do we carry that gift around with us, close to our hearts, close to our soul, in our minds constantly, always on show, ready to explain the why and the wherefore to anyone who asks? 1 Peter 3:15, which I think is our verse for next year, says, "In your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." Just as Jesus has been revealed to us, we've found him in our different ways, so those who God wants us to share the message with will find Jesus in different ways, and we need to be open to God telling us how to show Jesus to those he brings us into contact with. Depends on who the searcher is and what they're like, their life experiences. There's no one way of telling the gospel that fits all. We need to be able to share our relationship with Jesus, our understanding, our knowledge of meeting him and all that that means, in a way that enables that person to find Jesus for themselves. We need to listen to them to know who they are and where they're at in their journey to find God. And it needs to be the full gospel. You know, one of my favourite sort of non-biblical readings, if you like, for this time of year is The Journey of the Magi by T.S. Eliot. And he begins by talking about the difficulty of the journey which they experienced, how hard it was riding that distance on camels. Just the difficulty of the whole sort of concept. Have you ever ridden, people may have ridden a camel, they're not the easiest things to ride, they're not particularly comfortable. They would have had a whole entourage of people with them. And he puts that across in the first part of the poem, which I'm not going to read that. "A hard time we had of it. At the end, we preferred to travel all night. sleeping in snatches, with the voices singing in our ears saying that this was all folly. People saying that what they were doing, their search for Jesus, was just not worth it. They'd just seen a star in the sky. Why bother carrying on? Then he goes on to say, "Then at dawn we came down to a temperate valley, wet below the snow line, smelling of vegetation with a running stream and a watermill beating the darkness. And three trees on the low sky. An old white horse galloped away in the meadow. Then we came to a tavern with vine leaves on the lintel." That imagery from the Old Testament and from the New that we've already thought about this morning and celebrated. Six hands at an open door, dicing for pieces of silver. Sound familiar? Feet kicking the empty wineskins. But there was no information, and so we continued and arrived at evening, not a moment too soon, finding the place. It was, you may say, satisfactory. All this was a long time ago, I remember, and I would do it again, but set down this. Were we led all that way for birth or death? There was a birth, certainly, we had evidence and no doubt. I had seen birth and death, but had thought they were different. This birth was hard and bitter agony for us, like death, our death. We returned to our places, these kingdoms, but no longer at ease here in the old dispensation, with an alien people clutching their gods. I should be glad of another death. When we talk and when we think about the birth of Jesus, we know as Christians we can't separate it from the death of Jesus, because that's the reason that Jesus came. That is the fullness of the gospel of good news that the angels told the shepherds about, and that we are to celebrate not just the life, the birth, but the forthcoming death as well, and all that that means, the fact that we can have that forgiveness because Jesus died. We can be forgiven, because, and that's why we take the bread and the wine, knowing the cleansing still on a daily basis of forgiveness and being made right with God. So when we share with others, we need to have that as part of our sharing. How open are we to God as we share Jesus with others? Are we prepared to be like some of the people who we've read about? Are we like angels? People telling good news, speaking confidently and joyfully about Jesus, the message of good news, shining a great big light into people's lives because of the power of those words that speak of all that Jesus did on the cross. And the fact that he's alive today, and that because of that resurrection, we have life in Jesus. We have that relationship with God as a reality every moment. Are we prepared to find understanding about God in all that's happening in the world today? Or is our testimony and our understanding and relationship with God somewhere in the past? And so not really relevant to people that we work with, family who don't know Jesus, friends that we have. Are we prepared to really see what God is doing in the world today as the wise men were 2,000 years ago? How Jesus can be seen in the circumstances of the day, and so giving light to their understanding, hopefully. I think I've shared about this lad before, but a lad in year eight who had long conversations with in our rest lessons and at other times about who God is, who Jesus is. And he's into all these things that Mike Paveley knows a lot about as well. All the things that young people today are reading about and searching about on the internet. The Illuminati, different understandings coming from different places. All that information is so much out there these days. And I'm not going to be able to understand, perhaps in a way that Mike does, all those things and can identify with people that we speak to on the streets on a Friday night, Saturday morning. But we need to have some understanding of how people are thinking today, what they're seeing, what they're experiencing, what their understanding is, and try and bring Jesus into that, showing the reality of a relationship with God through him. Explaining the scriptures, praying for people and with people, shining light into their lives through that prayer. Can we be a light to others? Are we people whose lifestyle stands out? You know, Jesus talks about this in Matthew's gospel later on, doesn't he? A better way of living, a light that others will follow in order to find Jesus for themselves. Ways in which people can discover Jesus and find him. We need to be people who are shining lights in the darkness of the world and can bring light into the darkness of people's lives. We need to be part of the world. We're living in it, but not of it, being different, bringing light in different ways. Do we communicate joy through our lives in all that we say and do? Joy can be expressed, as we've seen in the Nativity stories, in different ways, different reactions and actions of them. A long, long time ago, well, it must be over 30 years ago, I went on a dance weekend with some other people from church. It was led by a group I can't remember the name of now. But as part of that weekend, we weren't just learning how to dance. We were doing very similar things that Diane does with Steps of Joy. And just learning and reflecting about ourselves and how we can express ourselves before God and experience him through movement and through actions and through symbolism. And one of the things that happened that weekend was that we were given a stone. And we were to think about the stone, to think about things in our lives, and then to exchange that stone for a piece of paper which would have on it either one of the fruits of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And we were to pray and to ask God specifically that he would give us our heart's desire. And I can remember wanting wisdom. For me as a young Christian, that was key. And I just felt that was so important to have that gift of the Holy Spirit in wisdom. So I dutifully went up, put my stone down, picked up a piece of paper, and it said, not wisdom, but joy. And I can remember, I think, feeling a little bit, I don't know, disappointed, really. To me, it didn't seem as important or as useful. But as I reflect on that, and it's something that's kind of stayed with me, I can remember when I first became a Christian, I was like the shepherds. I went at 19, 20, I was just 20, straight onto cloud nine. And I was out within days of becoming a Christian, out with other Christians, sharing the gospel, telling strangers, going up to people I didn't know, at New Street Station and down at Rednall, when it used to be really busy there at night, and telling people about Jesus. And as I look back, I can see other times in my life when I've had that experience of a real deep joy that has bubbled over in different ways. The joy of the experience of, some of you will have heard, some of you won't, of the Toronto blessing. Some of you may not necessarily agree with everything that happened then, but I remember that sense of joy and of physical laughter of being in the presence of God. But at other times, that joy has been different. It's been about that steadiness, that consistency, that depth of knowing of a relationship with God. And that can be there even when times are hard. In difficult times. Just knowing the presence of God. Knowing Jesus for yourself and caring about others. That expression of joy. Not just an emotion and a feeling, but based on a relationship with God and knowing who he is. Do we share that with other people in the way that we live, in the people that we are, the things that we say? That's the reality, hopefully, for each of us, and the consistency of continuing a relationship with God. The reality day by day, not something, a gift that we had a long time ago that we put on a shelf, get out occasionally when we need. But a day by day experience of sharing Jesus, experiencing him so that we can share him and be a light in the darkness of the world in which we live. Let's be open to sharing all that we know of him with others so that they too may find the end of their journey in discovering Jesus, the light, the love, the forgiveness, the light of the salvation of Jesus. Let's just pause and silently reflect on those things, on those scriptures, on those experiences. I want you to just think about your own journey with God. To think back as to how God led you to meet Jesus and to accept that gift. That experience of knowing for the first time that you're forgiven. Of experiencing the grace of God. Of beginning a relationship with him. And how that has continued. Then I want you to think about someone you know. Someone you work with, a friend, a member of your family. Who doesn't yet know Jesus in a personal way and yet's on a journey. To think and to pray for that person and to ask God how you can be that light, how you can be that Jesus for that person, how you can walk alongside them on their journey. Of discovery, their journey of searching. How you can be open to God, his Holy Spirit to enable you to share through your life, and then through the words of the gospel. Father, thank you. Thank you for the gift of Jesus. Thank you that we have unwrapped that gift, many of us, and know and experience you day by day, the reality of your forgiveness and your love, the reality of walking with someone who is faithful, who doesn't leave us. Who gives us peace and joy in our hearts, who gives us the strength to carry on. Help us, Father, help us to be open to you, to share with others all that we have in you. Help us not to get so tied up with the busyness and detail of our lives that we leave you out and that we forget about others, putting them before us. Help us to become more and more like you each day, to follow you more closely, so that you can be a light through us to a needy and dark world. Thank you. Thank you for all that you are, all that you mean. Thank you for this special time of year. Thank you for Jesus. In his name.